Morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is daf Samech. We are in the Mishnah on Nun Tes Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lomas Dechon Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bar Shmuel. Take a look at the Mishnah. We're now discussing the responsibilities a woman has to her husband. We have been discussing up until now many responsibilities that the husband has to his wife. We talked about the mezonos. We talked about ransoming her if necessary. We spoke about the allowance, also that goes to her as well. And now the Mishnah is going to turn its attention to malachas that a woman has to do to her husband. Ve'ela malachas she'isha osa leba'ala. So these are the things that a woman has to do for her husband. Tochenes ve'ofes, she grinds, she bakes. Me'chabesa, she has to do the laundry. Me'veshal, she has to cook. Me'nikas bena, she nurses her son. Matzas la'amita, makes the bed. Ve'osa b'tzemer, she makes wool. Let's pause at this point in time. So these are the basic obligations, the construct obligations that a woman has to her husband. Now the Mishnah is going to talk about a reduction. Meaning, would it be possible that, let's say she comes into the marriage, but she brings her shifcha along with her. Let's say the shifcha is part of the dowry. And, okay, so now she's got help. So, lo tochenes v'lo ofa v'lo mechabesa. So, with one shivcha, she does get a reduction. She doesn't have to grind the wheat, nor bake, nor do the laundry. Shtayim, what if she brings in two shvachos? Obviously, now she has more help. So, ein mevashals ve'ein menikas benas. So now she doesn't need to cook, and she doesn't need to nurse the child. All right, the shalosh, now what if she brings in three shvachos? So, ein matzas osamita ve'ein osa betzemer. So now she doesn't have to make the bed, and she doesn't have to make wool. Arba, if she now brings in four shvachos, so she really comes in with a lot of helping hands into the marriage. So Yosheves Bekatedra, so she sits down in the She sits in an easy chair and she sips on tea. Now the Mishnah doesn't mention sipping on tea, but okay. In other words, she could take it easy. She's good. Rabbi Elazar Omer, I feel like this is a shvachos. Rabbi Elazar says, look, even 100 shvachos, meaning she can have as much help as she wants, kofalasos betzemer, but still she has to do something. There has to be some sort of malacha that she does for her husband. Shabbatela mevi'ali de zima, because if she just does nothing and she's idle the entire day, so it leads to zima, it leads to lascivious behavior. So it's just simply unacceptable for her to just do nothing. Shimon Gamliel Omer, afamad yasisha malasos malacha. Let's say the husband is dead set on the idea that his wife shouldn't do any malacha whatsoever, and he does so even mederach neder. He makes a vow. He says his wife shouldn't do any in malacha. He's not going to benefit from any of the malacha that's done by his wife. Yosef Yitank Suva. So that is an unacceptable marriage. It's an intolerable marriage, and it's going to compel a divorce. And he also has to give her the ksuva. Shabbatel and mivei alei deshiyamon, because lack of productivity, doing nothing, leads to insanity. It leads to just an unhealthy mental state. And so therefore, it's just simply unacceptable for the husband to insist that his wife does nothing. Now, tochenes akadachet, the Gemara asks a very short question, and that is, tochenes means she's grinding. What do you mean she's grinding? Even back then, they had machines that grind. It was water powered, but still they had machines that grind. What does that mean? She grinded. Ela'ema matchenes. So the Gemara makes just a small correction of our understanding of the Mishnah, and as Rashi explains over here, it means that she's preparing for the grinding. Obviously, the grinding itself, she's not going to do that. She's going to put in a machine. But she's preparing the grinding. Ibai sema a brecha diada, or a handheld grinder. Masis in the low Rabbi Chia, the new Rabbi Chia. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia says einisha el yofi. As far as the wife is concerned, legabe her husband, so beauty is key. Einisha el labanim, and having children is key. And so these malachas are not absolutely necessary, not like our Mishnah says. So Rabbi Chia argues with our Mishnah. Can I remind everyone, the Gemara in Yevamos, Rabbi Chia discussed his relationship with his wife. It was a very interesting Gemara over there. Rabbi Chia told his son that his wife, meaning I guess your mother, makes me crazy. The Gemara in Yevamos described basically how she tormented him. But he told her son, I get the basics of life. She does end up feeding me, and she satisfies my Yetzirah. So he described his relationship with his wife not in the best of terms. But Rabbi Chiya says, but as far as the wife is concerned, so the key elements for husband and wife is Yofi and Banim, and so therefore Rabbi Chiya would not be like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says she has to do Malacha. Even with 100 slaves, she has to do Malacha. Rabbi Chiya says not necessarily. The jewelry that she adorns herself with, but again, not the Malacha being described in our Mishnah. So one wants to make his wife more radiant. So he puts on flax clothing on her. If you want your wife, your daughter to also have like a more radiant glow to her. So nuts, as the Gemara, would be a good part of a good diet. And right before she becomes mature, physically mature, so also milk would be excellent in terms of giving her more radiant glow. The Gemara now turns to the discussion in the Gemara regarding Hanaka, regarding the nursing. Our Mishnah is not going like Beit Shammai. Now, between us, our Mishnah is not going like Beit Shammai, meaning that Machlok is Beit Shammai, we normally follow like Beit Hillel, so it would not be such a wouldn't be so bad if our mission didn't go like Beit Shammai. Let's introduce ourselves to the opinion of Beit Shammai. D'tanya, let's say she makes a neder that she's not going to nurse her son. Beit Shammai omrim shometas dav mipiv. So Beit Shammai is of the opinion that she can even remove herself from the baby. Meaning, okay, a neder doesn't the neder would be enforced. Beit Hillel omrim kofet uminikasa. Beit Hillel says no, she can't make a neder like that. Like we've discussed already a number of times, she has a shibud. She is bound by ksuva contractual legislation that she needs to nurse the child, and so therefore Beis Hillel says the neder is simply not non-forced. However, once they get a divorce, so then it can't force the mother to nurse the child. Now, let's say the child recognizes the mother, meaning by recognition over here, the Gemara means, the Braisa means, that right now the baby knows who its mother is, meaning its baby's old enough. We'll go over ages in just a moment, but the baby's old enough where baby knows exactly who its mother is and refuses to nurse from anybody else. And she makes a neder. She said she's not going to nurse the baby. And again, before divorce, Beis Hillel says that's not a neder, meaning that neder has no consequence whatsoever. But after they got a divorce, so now she's not bound to the husband, and now the neder's intact, and now the baby is refusing to nurse from anybody else. So now schara v'kofel minikasa. So then you pay her, meaning like a wet nurse, and you compel her to nurse the baby, because right now the baby's refusing to nurse from anybody else, and so therefore you do everything within your power to preserve the life of that baby. So I feel Tema Beit Shammai. So the Gemara right now would like to, for a moment, try to suggest that our Mishnah does in fact go like Beit Shammai. Hach b'mayiskin kigon shenadra, he v'kayim la hu. We get back to a machlokas that we saw not that long ago regarding who's at fault when she makes a neder, and what does the husband do? He validates it, meaning he has a 24-hour period in which he can annul the neder. He doesn't annul the neder, and so now she made the neder, but he validated the neder. Question becomes, it's an age-old question, whose fault is that? Now, like I said last time, I'll say it again, it's both of their faults, meaning they both were now contributing to the fact that she made a neder. But I guess the question over here, the way we phrased it last time, is who's primarily responsible now for this neder that she made and he validated? So that's the Gemara says, that's the machlokas. Beit Shammai omrim. So Beit Shammai says that we could put blame mostly on him. Beit Hillel savri hu nosen etzba ben shineha. Beit Hillel is of the opinion that now we could primarily blame her. And and that could really be the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and so consequently, then it would come out whether or not the neder is going to be valid or not going to be valid. So the Gemara says v'niflugu b'ksuva ba'alma. So to which the Gemara says, look, that's a lovely explanation, but if that's really what they're arguing about, so what they're really arguing about is a much more global issue about when a wife makes a neder and he validates the neder. So who can we turn our attention to? Who can we point fingers at and say it's his fault or it's her fault? And over here, it's very strange. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are now discussing it and debating it just in the context of nursing, the Gemara says. That's very strange. So the Gemara says a more reasonable approach is that our Mishnah is not going like Beit Shammai, and that she's not Meshubad. She doesn't have a contractual obligation. I'm sorry. Our Mishnah says she does have a contractual obligation to nurse, and therefore neder she makes that goes counter to that is simply not going to be a valid neder. Im haya makira. Okay, what now Gemara is going to speak a little bit about the baby nursing and the baby recognizing who its mother is. Ad kama. Meaning, how many months into the baby's life does the baby start recognizing who the mother is? Meaning, the Gemara is assuming at infancy, at the right, immediately postpartum after the birth. So the baby's gonna not really know who's who and what's what, and the baby will just simply accept any nursing from anybody. But there comes a point in the development of the baby where the baby now is going to be particular about who it's going to be nursing from. So ad kama. The Gemara's question now is that at what month does the baby have this hakara, have this recognition? Amarav, Amarav, Yirmi, Abarav, Amarav, Shloshech Hanashim. So one opinion of the Gemara is 3 months. Shmuel Amar, Shloshim Yom. 30 days, meaning 1 month. Rav Yitzchak, Amar, Rav Yochanan, Chamishim Yom. 50 days. Amarav, Shimi, Barabai, Halachik, Rav Yitzchak, Shama, Mishim, Rav Yochanan. And then the Gemara rules that the halacha follows like the opinion of Rav Yochanan, which is 50 days. Bishlam, Rav Yochanan, Kochav, Chaki, Chorfei. Now, in terms of the discrepancy between Rav and Rav Yochanan, everything based on the intelligence of the child, meaning some babies are sharper, understand things at an earlier age. In other words, everybody has a different developmental rate, and so I understand the difference between 30 days and 50 days. But according to Shmuel, 50 days versus 3 months. But according to Shmuel, Shmuel says 30 days. 30 days, meaning 1 month into the life of the baby. Baby's already going to be discerning enough to know, that's my mother and that's not my mother. So the Gemara says, Mimishkachala, Ki Asa Rami Bar Yecheskel, Amalo says, Sinala, the cloud, the Kai Yehud Ache. When Rami Bar Yecheskel comes in, so he says, you know, my brother Yehuda, right? Rami Bar Yecheskel and Yehuda were brothers, right? We saw this back in Kedushin. Anyway, he says, don't listen to what my brother said. Mishmei Deshmuel, the name of Shmuel, Achem HaShmuel. See, the Gemara now is going to have a different version of what Shmuel said, and that is Kozman Shemakira, at any point in time when the baby recognizes the mother. Meaning, as Rashi explains, Ein Shir Ladavar. Meaning we cannot put some sort of age on when the child is going to start recognizing when the mother is. Again, we're talking about infancy over here. The child will come to a point where it recognizes his mother, will only nurse exclusively from its mother. And Shmuel says, in terms of when that is, he says, Bedika. You're just going to have to do some sort of examination. Fascinating, the Gemara over here gives us an incident, an episode, in terms of how we're going to actually do a Bedika to see that when the child recognizes his own mother, someone goes in front of Shmuel, Amalei, L'Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Zilbatka. So Shmuel says, okay, do a Bedika. Let's do an examination. Let's see if this baby recognizes its mother or if the baby is prepared to nurse from anyone. Azal Osvei Bidari Denashi. So basically what Shmuel did through one of his Talmidim is he a lineup, basically, a row of women. And Vishakla Labravika Mahadale Alayu. And so what he did is he took the baby and basically walked the baby past every one of the women. Kimata Lagaba, and when he got to his mother, when the baby arrived at his own mother, Havaka Masve La'apa. And so now the baby kind of like lit up to her face. And kafshtina le'ena mine. And what the mother was trying to do was trying to bury her eyes into the ground, meaning try to avoid eye contact so that the mother wouldn't, and the baby wouldn't, she wouldn't be discovered as being the mother. What's the backdrop to the story? Meaning, obviously, the mother didn't want to identify herself as being the mother. So what's behind this? I don't know. Meaning, the Gemara is only giving us a very very short snippet of the incident. But still, the idea is that this is Shmuel Lishitaso, meaning according to Rami Bar Yecheskel, this is Shmuel Lishitaso that there's no age in terms of when the baby recognizes the mother. It's just basically a point of recognition. Amarlah, so Shmuel says now to the mother, Na tafeinecha, lift up your eyes, kum dare brech, go and take your son. Meaning, it's obvious the way the baby lit up when he saw you, it's obvious that he recognizes you as being the mother. Suma menayada. a blind child, a blind baby, in other words, without the visual perception, without the visual input, so how does the child know that it's his mother? So Rav Ashi berecha v'taima. So Rav Ashi says, smell, taste. In other words, there are other senses that would indicate that it's his mother, and sight is not the only sense that would that give that indication. Tana Rabban the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Yonik tinek v'holech ad esrim v'arba chodesh. Okay, now we're going to talk about nursing. And really, we're going to be having two discussions almost simultaneously. One discussion we're going to have is, how long is a woman contractually obligated to nurse a child? Okay. And there's another discussion that the Gemara is going to have, which is a very similar, not similar. It deals with the same issue in nursing, but it tackles it from a different point of view, and that is nursing from a woman, meaning in general. Without now with the discussion of contractual obligation, the ksuva, the woman's obligation to nurse, but right now we're just talking about nursing from a woman in regards to kashrus. Okay, let me set up the discussion in the following light. Okay, here's what we know: the Torah prohibits the number of foods to eat. Right, so for example, pig. So a pig is one of the foods that the Torah prohibits us from eating. And not only is the pig prohibited, but kol ha-yotzei min ha-tamei tamei. We have a general rule. The Gemara in Bechoros tells us that anything that comes out of a non-kosher food is also going to be non-kosher as well. Okay, pig's milk is going to be prohibited. In fact, pig's milk is going to be just as usher as eating the pig itself. Okay, now, talk a little bit about human beings. So, there's nowhere in the Torah that explicitly states that you're not allowed to eat a human being. But intuitively, we all know you're not allowed to eat a human being. Now, we're learning Gemara right now, so that means that I need to cite a pasuk, I need to cite a drasha. There's got to be some source for this. In other words, it can't just simply be our intuition. But still, right now, I'll just say it intuitively. Intuitively, we know we're not allowed to eat a human being. So if we're not allowed to eat a human being, so what about the milk that human produces? Shouldn't that milk be aser? Let's talk about the blood. What about the blood of a human being? That blood also is coming from a source which itself is prohibited. So the blood of a human being also should be aser. And then, the Gemara doesn't have this discussion, but I'll just raise it right now. What about the meat of a human being? Okay, well, I mean, that's really the starting point for this whole discussion. Meaning, isn't that exactly the point? So all those things, in theory, should be aser. Now, of course, we know that that's a terrible conclusion. Meaning, we know that most of what I said is incorrect. Meaning, of course you're allowed to nurse from the mother. But I guess the way we could formulate the question is, why is that okay? Meaning, and I guess part of that question would be, not only why is it okay, but does it ever become a point where it's not okay? Tana Rabbanan. With all that stated, I say all that by way of introduction. Now we're going to have hopefully a better understanding of the upcoming Braisa. Yonei tinok v'olech ha-esrim v'arba chodesh. So the child can nurse for 24 months. Mikan ve'elech, but after 24 months, ki yonek sheketz. It's like nursing from a non-kosher animal. Okay, now that's a strange language, but hopefully, based on the introduction that I gave, it's not so strange. Meaning, there comes a point in time where it's no longer considered nursing, and if it's no longer considered nursing, now what? Now, what you're doing is you are consuming from something that you're not allowed to eat, and that's what Rabbi Elazar says. After 24 months, it's kiyonik sheket. Rabbi Yoshua Amar Afilo Arba V'Chamishanim Pirish. I'm sorry. Afilo Arba V'Chamishanim. So Rabbi Yoshua says no. Nursing can go 4 or 5 years, right? In poor countries, very common, very common practice even to this very day for a child to be nursing 4 or 5 years of age. So Pirish La'Acher Esim V'Arba Chodesh V'Chazer Kiyonik Sheketz. However, even according to Rabbi Yoshua, even though nursing can continue to 4 and 5 years of age, but still, after 24 months, if there was a hafrasha, if there was a separation, meaning the child was weaned, then the child can't go back and nurse again. It's once again, kiyonik sheketz. It's like nursing from a non-kosher animal. Amar mar. Mikan ve'elch kiyonik sheketz v'riminu. So yachol, so the Gemara is now going to quote a braisa. The braisa we saw already back in Croesus. I might have thought this is now the braisa dealing with just the aspect of iser v'heter, meaning the prohibitive nature of milk. So I might have thought the havamina would have been that those who walk on two legs, that's the braisa's way of describing human beings, meaning you and I. So I might have thought that the milk that's manufactured by a human is prohibited. Now the word tummy over here means kashrus, meaning you're not allowed to eat it, or in this case, drink it. Vidinhu umabe shekalta b'maga ichmarta b'chalba. Look, an animal is never tummy while it's alive. And meanwhile, we know that it's a non-kosher animal, you can't drink the milk of the animal. Adam shechmarta b'mago, einu din shetachmir b'chalbo. When it comes to a human being is more susceptible to tummy. A human being is tummy even while the person's alive. Zav, zav, anida, yolades. Right? Many times that a person's tummy even while alive. So if the person's susceptible to tumma while they're alive, for sure the milk that's manufactured by the woman should be tummy as well. Meaning tummy in this case, meaning you're not allowed to drink it. Tamalamar sagamal kimala gerahi. I'm sorry, kigmala gerahu. Hu tummy vein chalav ma'achishtaim tummy. So the Gemara says we have a drasha, meaning chiddush Torah, meaning the havamina is very legitimate, and to counter the havamina, we have to cite a drasha, a special drasha that tells us that one is allowed to ingest the milk of a human. What about blood? Meaning blood is unilaterally prohibited, so maybe the blood of a human also should be prohibited as well. Tamalamar who tame vein dame achishtaim tame elatar. Once again, a drasha that tells us that the blood of a human also is not going to be prohibited. The amar Rav Sheshes afilo mitzvah prisha ein bo. And Rav Sheshes says that there's not even an idea to separate midrabanan, meaning even midrabanan, one does not have to separate themselves from these types of liquids that are produced by human, not the milk and not the blood. So where do we stand right now? We seem to be at somewhat of an impasse. On one hand, the Braisa says that you can a baby can nurse up until 24 months. Again, 24 months being the end, or it can go to 4 to 5 years. That's a machlokas tanaim. But basically, the baby after birth can nurse. But then there comes a point in time, let's call it 24 months, where that's it. Meaning the baby can no longer nurse anymore. Meanwhile, the Bryce that we just got done saying says that midrasha, operating through a drasha, anyone is allowed to consume the milk of a human and the blood of a human. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, the Gemara says, no, not a contradiction, ha de parish, ha de lo parish. Depending on whether or not you're getting it straight from the source, or it was the woman expressed herself and you're drinking the milk not straight from the source. So in other words, meaning, let's see if we can understand this answer of the Gemara. May ikar hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, the milk that's manufactured by a woman is not prohibited. Meaning that's the drasha. And then midrabanan, one is not allowed to nurse from a child once they become once it's no longer considered quote unquote nursing. At what point is that? So it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Elazar and the Braisa. But in other words, once it's no longer considered nursing and you're going directly from the source, it's straight from the tap, so then it's going to be rabbinically prohibited. If you look at the Braisa, it's kionic sheketz. It's like you're drinking from a sheketz. Meaning it's inappropriate behavior. Why do the rabbis make gzera? I'm not sure if I can articulate that well, but in other words, it's just simply not appropriate. And from the Gemara standpoint, it sounds like it's also midrabanan. Mevichilufa b'dam. Now, when it comes to blood, just the opposite. Meaning, again, like the Braisa said in Krisos, the blood of a human is not prohibited. However, there's going to be a point where it's rabbinically forbidden. Kedetanya dam shal gabi. If the blood is on the bread, meaning you bit into the blood and you had a little bleeding of the gums and the blood went on the bread, so you have to scrape it off before you take another bite in the bread. If the blood is, let's say, on your teeth, meaning your gums are bleeding, but the blood hasn't left your mouth yet, then you're allowed to ingest the blood. So in other words, by milk manufactured by human, so from the source, no. Once separated from the woman, yes. By blood, just the opposite. From the source, meaning as long as it's still not left the body, it's in your mouth, but it hasn't left the body, so then you can ingest it. Once it leaves the body, then you can't ingest it. It's going to be prohibited. The Gemara doesn't say these words, but in, from the context of the Gemara, it sounds like it's an issue of marasayin, meaning it looks like you're eating blood. And you are, but it just happens to be that this particular blood that you're eating is not prohibited blood, but still, looks like you're eating blood. Amar Mar. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Afilah Arba V'Chamishanim V'Atanya. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Afilah Chavilaso Al Ketefav. So the Gemara over here presents what seems to be a discrepancy within Rabbi Yeshua. On one hand, he says that a baby can nurse until 4 and 5 years of age. And then the other one says, even as he's riding on top of the shoulders of the parent. So So the Gemara says that's not a discrepancy. We're describing the same basic age bracket. I'm Rav Yosef, halacha ka Rav Yeshua, and the Gemara says that that's a halacha, like Rav Yeshua, that a baby slash now child, toddler, can nurse until 4 or 5 years of age. After that, no. And again, just that one qualification that we saw earlier, even within the sheet of Rav Yeshua, and that is that if the child takes a break, so then the child can no longer nurse even before 4 or 5 years of age. What do we discuss so far? Milk being produced by a human, blood being produced from a human, that is categorically not prohibited, but there are rabbinic prohibitions that we just got done discussing in the Gemara. What about the meat of a human being? What about the muscle of a human being? So the Gemara doesn't discuss. Sounds like from the Gemara, from an absence of discussion, it sounds like it's prohibited. I'm not going to go through it right now, but I will point you in the right direction. See the third Tosus on this Amud, where he discusses what exactly is the Isser of eating the meat of a human being. So you want to mark it off on the Daf Samach and Ksuvos, third Tosus on the Amud, discusses whether or not what exactly is the nature of the prohibition of eating of the flesh of a human. Okay. Tanya. Rabbi Mirena Samar Gonech Vyonek Chalav Shabbos. The Rabbi Marinos discusses the following. Let's say you have a child who is let's say you have somebody who is experiencing some sort of heart trouble, and he has shortness of breathing. Okay, you want to give me a medical term for that? The heart failure. Okay, so the that'll work. Okay, good. So Rabbi Marinos Amar Gonech. So let's say the person's experiencing that. So Yonech Chalav Shabbos. So the what he can do is he can nurse on Shabbos itself. Nursing on Shabbos is nursing on Shabbos is going to be prohibited for reasons we're about to discuss. But over here, in other words, the person obviously is ill. Now, the degree of illness is important, meaning if we're talking about a sakana, if we're talking about where it's critical illness, so then we're not going to navigate through the halacha, meaning you do whatever it takes in order to preserve the life of a person on Shabbos. So over here, I'd venture to say, I think it's very reasonable to suggest, we're not talking about somebody who's critically ill, but somebody who nevertheless needs serious medical attention. So he's allowed to nurse directly from the animal, meaning so he can go directly to a goat and nurse directly from the goat. Yes, of course, it looks bizarre, but in other words, if that's going to be the therapy and that that's going to help him, so he may do so. The Gemara goes on to explain. My time a yoneg mefari kalachayad. Because expressing the milk, meaning milking a goat or a cow on Shabbos, is prohibited. If you're nursing directly from the animal, that is kila achayad, that's a shinui. You're doing it now in an unusual fashion. That's not normally how you nurse. I remember years ago I was on a farm, and terrible visual. And the farmer had his coffee, and straight from the cow, he milked it right into his coffee cup. It's something that you can't erase that from your memory. So the but nursing directly from the cow itself is, I'm sorry, milking the cow is prohibited for reasons we're about to articulate why. Nursing directly from the cow is a shinui. Here, the Gemara says, here's how the math works. Over makom tzara lo gazru rabbanan. So over here, because you're doing a shinui with in an unusual manner, so it drops it down now to an iser de rabbanan. The person's experiencing pain, so to alleviate the pain, one can violate iser de rabbanan Shabbos in order to alleviate the pain. Good. That's the Gemara's explanation of why that should be. Nursing on Shabbos. So the Gemara describes it as being mefarik, meaning that the Gemara says is. I'm sorry. Let me go back. I want to redo that sentence. Okay, I'm not going to erase the tape, but let's redo that. Not nursing, milking an animal on Shabbos. What's the problem with milking an animal on Shabbos? So the Gemara describes it as being mefarik. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Hanotik davar mimakom shegadla bo." You're extracting something from where it originated. V'lo min hamechubar ela min hatalush v'tolada d'dasho. So Rashi says we're going to compartmentalize because every malach and Shabbos has to have some sort of av, it has to have some sort of main category. So in terms of categorization, so Rashi says it goes back to dash shehu mefarik tvua mikashye. In other words, when you take the kernel and extract it from where it grew, so that's a talada of dash. When you are milking a cow or any animal, so what you're doing is that milk grew inside of the udder. You're extracting the milk from that udder, so that's a tolad of dash. That's how Rashi sees it. Once again, if you want more on this topic, you can see, take a look at Tosus. Tosus also discusses this as well. Tosus divra maskal mefarik. But anyway, just to keep it right now very succinct, so it is a tolad of dash. It's a subcategory of dash. So to milk the cow directly, meaning with your hands, that's a malacha daraisa. Now, the person's in pain, and the person's nursing directly from the animal. Of course, that will look very strange, but it's an issur de rabbanan because he's doing it now with the shinui, and to alleviate the pain, so the Gemara says that's fine. Continuing in the Gemara. Am Rav Yosef halacha karebi marina. So Rav Yosef says that's in fact halacha, meaning, okay, paskent. Tanya, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Nachem ish galya omer tzina sha'alu bo kashkashen. Mim'achem biraglo bitzina b'shabbos v'enob choshesh. So let's say you have a pipe that gets stuffed up on Shabbos. So what you could do is you could kick the pipe with your leg. You do it privately and enob choshesh, and that's fine. Kicking it with your leg, my time, the Gemara goes on to say, mitakin kalach yayna. Yes, it's true. You're unclogging a pipe. But the Gemara says, but you're doing it so in an unusual fashion, meaning you don't just kick it with your feet. You usually scoop it out with your hands or whatever instrument you use. So, and over here, if you don't unstuff the pipe, so basically there's going to be heavy water collection on your roof, which is going to link into your house, which is going to drown the house, which is, so in other words, for the purposes of Pseda, so you're allowed to... You're allowed to kick the pipe in order to unclog it. So you have a stuffed toilet on Shabbos. I'm not poskening, but you have a stuffed toilet on Shabbos. So, and now it happens to be the Gemara says you have to unclog it in an unusual fashion. So I don't know. A plunger is pretty usual, pretty common. But okay, again, I'm not the posig, but there's certainly a basic application of this Gemara over here in terms of our daily living. Just an interesting side. It's very interesting. The Gemara says that you can kick the pipe, but you have to do so. But then you have to do so privately and not publicly. I'm sorry. Let me just finish reading the Gemara. My time. I'm talking kalachiyadu v'makom tzedel gazor v'rabbanan number of Yosef halachim kenachem ishkalia. And then the Gemara says, and that's in fact the halacha. Okay. Now, just make one interesting point over here. The Gemara says you can do so, but you can only do so privately. You can't do so publicly. Why can't you do it publicly? So Tosa says because it's Marasayan, meaning it's gonna, you know, it doesn't look right, right? And then Tosa is bothered by a very simple question. Well, if the prohibition is Marasayan, I mean, that's the reason why you can't do it publicly. We see time and again that anything the rabbis prohibited because of Marasayan is prohibited not only publicly but also prohibited privately as well. So Tosa says, so this seems to be a little bit strange, where the Gemara over here says that it can't do it publicly because of Marasayan, but privately it's okay. How does that work? Tosfos suggests an answer. It's a very interesting answer of Tosfos. He says, it's the bottom Tosfos on the Amud. So, Avahachav, just reading the last line of the Tosfos, it's the last line of the page, Lo Yiru Ela Malacha Kalachaya David Rabbanan. So Tosa says, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about kicking a pipe, which in of itself is an issur de rabbanan. Lo gazur rabbanan la esar bechadre chadara. So, interesting. Tosa says that this rule of marasayan being prohibited in public and in private, And why the Gemara doesn't follow that rule over here, so Tosfos says because that rule only applies to what appears to be Isuri D'Oraisa. But if what you're doing only appears to be Nisa D'Rabbanan, so then, and for whatever reason, it's sanctioned, it's allowed, so then you can do so privately, although you can't do it publicly. So the only time Marasayan is a uniform rule for both inside and outside is only when what you're doing appears like an Issa D'Oraisa, not like over here in Issa D'Rabbanan. Okay, very interesting. Has much application. Let's go on in the Gemara. So again, we go back to nursing. We said that the baby can nurse. Now again, according to Rav Yeshua, up to 4 or 5 years, but after 24 months, if the baby takes a break, so then that's it. What's the definition of a break? Vikama. That's exactly the Gemara's question. I'm Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. I'm a Shmo Shlosha Yamim. 3 days is considered a break. Iged Ami Tani Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Kamei Shmo Shlosha Yamim. Okay, just a way of how to formulate it, but 3 days. Tana Rabbanan Menekes Shemes Bala Besoches V'Var Bachorish Hareiz Lo Sis Hareiz V'Lo Sinasei. A nursing woman whose husband unfortunately dies, so within 24 months she can't receive erusin. She certainly can't get married. Top of Samach Amud Beis, Ad Esrim Va'arba Chodesh Divrei Rabbi Meir. Till 24 months, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Mater Bishmona Asar Chodesh. Rabbi Yehuda allows her to get married 18 months after the baby was born. I'm Rabbi Nassim Bar Yosef, Heinein Divrei Beis Shammai, Heinein Divrei Beis Hillel. Shabbat Shammai Armin Mesim Varba Chodesh, Shabbat Hillel Armin Shmona Asar Chodesh. This is also the same Achlokis, according to Rabbi Nassim, as Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Okay, they argue over these very same numbers. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel ani achria. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I'm going to come up with a compromise position. And that is, L'divrei ha-omer esrim v'arba chodesh muter sinase be'esrim ve'echad chodesh. Look, if you hold 24 months, so Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, I'm going to allow you to get married 21 months postpartum, after the delivery. Because let's think about it. What can happen? At 21 months after you get married again, so it could be that you're going to get pregnant. Okay. So, and then the lactation is going to stop. But it's only going to stop 3 months later. So 21 plus 3, that gets you to 24 months. So Rav Shimon Gamliel basically allows a leniency so that really she can get married at 21 months. And L'divrei Amar B'Shmona Asar Chodesh, Mutaros Lihinaseh B'Chamisha Asar Chodesh. And according to the Shita that says 18 months, so again, you drop 3 months off, and she can get married 15 months after she had the baby. L'fisha Ein Achalav Ne'ekar Ela La'achar Shosha Chadash, because again, the milk doesn't stop, isn't stopped being produced until 3 months into her next pregnancy. Amar Ula Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. And Ula says the halacha, in fact, is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, going back to the beginning of the whole discussion, was the one who said 18 months, and again, 18 months, and then you could drop another 3 months, so now 15 months. So, right now, what the Gemara is saying is that 15 months after she had a baby, she can get married again. Again, assuming, of course, that either she is divorced or widowed. So, V'amar Mar'ukva lihit Rabbi Chananya l'asisach ha-chamisha sa-chodesh. And Mar'ukva described that Rabbi Chanina gave me a heter to marry a woman 15 months postpartum.
But it's because if she gets pregnant after 15 months, that's going to be 24 months difference between the children.
Right. But the Gemara is, you're correct, but the Gemara is more focused on the nursing, but agreed. Now, Arisa d'Abaye, Asla Kama d'Abaye, the sharecropper of Abaye, goes to Abaye Amarle, Mahu Le Aris Bechamisha Asa Chodesh. And so he had a shaila. He said, look, a woman just gave birth, and she's a widow, she's a divorcee, whatever the details were, and I want to do Erisin 15 months after she had the baby. But Erisin, not marriage, not second stage, but first stage. So Amarle, Chada, Dramev Rav Yehuda, Lachak Rav Yehuda. So first of all, let's go to the rules of Psak. The rules of Psak are that we follow like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. The Od, Beis Shammai Beis Halacha Beis Hillel. And we have a Machlok between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The Halacha falls like Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel was the one who said 18 months. So in other words, everything points in the direction of 18 months. The Amar Ula Halacha Rav Yehuda. And on top of that, we also know that Ulus is Allah Chazak Rav Yehuda. V'amar Mar'ukva lihi to Rabbi Chanin la'asesach ha-chamisha sa-chodesh. And there's a lot of evidence that the halacha would allow it. Kol shekein da'at le'ares. And then he says, and look, I can make even another reason, another argument that it's okay, because you're not even talking about Nisuin, meaning you're not going to impregnate her. You're only talking about Erisin. So it should be obvious that it's okay. He also come to Rav Yosef Amarlei. So now he went to Rav Yosef and he reviewed the whole halachic question with him. So Rav Yosef's response is Amarlei. Rav Shmuel Damar Tavar. It's Rechalam Timasim Varba Chodesh. Chutz Miyam Shenalabav VeChutz Miyam Shenisar Sabo. So he says, despite everything we said, and we gave some very compelling arguments that really you can get married 18 months, really 15 months after you had the baby. But he quoted in the name of Rav and Shmuel, you gotta wait 24 full months. Rad Basrei Tosa Parsei, now, upon hearing this statement made by Rav Yosef in the name of Rav and Shmuel, so he felt terrible because he paskened incorrectly, and he ran after the Aris, he ran after the sharecropper, three parsas, V'amir la parsa b'chalei. Some say that he ran in the sand three parsas, V'lo adarke, but he didn't catch up with him, meaning that he ruled incorrectly and then he felt terrible, tried running after him to correct himself, and it didn't work out.
On what basis have Rav and Shmuel overruled the Hillel?
Great question. I don't know the answer.
Okay. One of the incidences that
There are a couple times, six times in total, where we go over we rule Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. I'll look it up. I know where to look. I'll look it up. I don't think this is one of them, but you're right. That would be a good argument. Otherwise, I don't have a good one. Amar Abaye, I'm also Amar Rabbanan. Afilo biyasa because chalalishre enish b'makom rabbei. Gemara says, by the way, lesson we can learn from here is as follows: even quote unquote simple shailas, if your rebbe's around, don't pask in the halach in front of your rebbe. Now, what's an example of a simple shailas? So the Gemara over here discusses eggs and milk. So, interesting. Tosfos over here, take a look at the top Tosfos on the Amud. I'm not going to go through it right now, but Tosfos over here says, the Gemara over here doesn't mean the simplest question of egg and milk. Meaning, right, can I have egg salad and put some cream cheese on it? Okay, you don't need a rav. In other words, yes. The answer is yes. And that's not a simple shaila. That's just called basic, fundamental, rudimentary halacha. That's not what the Gemara is dealing with over here. Tosfos says we're talking about a somewhat more complex issue where where the egg was not laid by the chicken but was found inside the chicken. The Gemara in the beginning of Beitza has these discussions. At what point is that egg considered parv? It now becomes a more complex issue. So so that's what the Gemara is dealing with over here. But the Gemara is not dealing with the meaning. Egg and milk is not a shaila. That's just that's ABCs. That's just basic. That's not what the Gemara is discussing over here. So now let's go back. Let me read that statement again. And he says it's not because it's chutzpedik. Meaning that's not the issue. Although it is. Meaning if your rebbe's right there and you're passing the halacha in front of your rebbe, it is chutzpah. But the Gemara says, but that's not the only issue. So, but the other issue is because you may not say the right halacha. Meaning your rebbe's right there. He knows what the halacha is. You're there. You kind of know what the halacha is. But still, don't say it because you might not say the right halacha. He says, look, I learned the halacha from Rav and Shmuel that you have to wait 24 full months. And at the time when I was asked the question, I totally forgot, meaning we're human. I totally forgot. I told them 18 months, it's fine. And meanwhile, I was the one who knew this halacha, but I forgot it. So when your rebbe's around and someone asks a question, so you point in the direction of your rebbe and you say, ask him. He'll answer you. Tan Rabbana Nasan Banala Mineka So Gamata Omeis Mutersi Nasan Miyad. The Braisa says that if she gives the child over to a wet nurse, or she weans the child, or Rachman Slan, the child dies, so she can get married right away. Meaning, so that now we're not worried. Meaning the whole reason why the 24-month requisite period that she has to wait is because we're for the interest of the baby. But if the baby no longer needs her, so then she get married right away. Rav Papa, Rav Una Bereid, Rav Yeshua, Savra Lamavid, Ovda Kiai Masdi, son. Oh, the Braisa says it. So Rav Papa and Rav Una thought, okay, that's the Psak Halacha. Amalu Aisafta Bididi Av Uvda, an older woman went over to them and says to them, rabbis, don't do that. I had an incident, Vasili Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman told me you must wait 24 months, even though the baby did not need me anymore. Rav Nachman Sharluhu LeReish Galusa. So the Gemara, I'm sorry, Sharluhu LeReish Galusa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't Rav Nachman provide a heter for those living, the women of Reish Galusa? Shani Bey Reish Galusa, Delo Hadar Behu. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara says that's different. Rashi explains that once the women of Reish Galusa stop nursing, they're so wealthy, they're so affluent, they're never going to be needed again. So in other words, there just simply is no, there's no reason why they shouldn't be allowed to be to remarry right away. The Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following brisa? We saw this brisa back in Yevamos, not that long ago. Let's say the marriage was tumultuous, and she was running back to her parents' house, or there was just a lot of anger in the house. Oshe abala chavush beveis asur, if the husband was in prison. Oshe alachbala lemedina siyam, or the husband's been away on a very long trip. So oshe ayabala zakeno chola, or the husband was old or sick. Oshe isa akara vizikena, or she was just simply unable to have children. Islandist, or she was an islandist, ill-equipped. Uktana, or let's say she was a minor. Vamapela sachar misas bala, or let's say she had a miscarriage. Vishayna relay later, she's just not fit to have children. In other words, that was a long list of people. The point being that even though they did not have children, she was not pregnant. We know she was not pregnant. Still, the halacha is kulin tzrichin lamtin gimel chadashin. Div Rav Meir says that you always have to wait 3 months after the divorce. The halacha is you must wait 3 months. And furthermore, Rabbi Yossi Matel Learis L'Nasim Yad, Rabbi Yossi allows her to get married right away. The Amr Rav Nachman Amr Shmuel, Halacha Rav Meir, Bigzerasov. And we know the halacha falls like Rav Meir. So Amri Lay, Lav Adaitin. So to which he says, ooh, I didn't know that. Meaning, I'm so happy you told me that. So we have to follow like Rav Meir. So just like a divorced woman always has to wait 90 days, okay, 92 days. Similarly, what the argument is right now is that a woman who gave birth to a baby, even if the baby doesn't need her anymore, so she still has to wait 24 months to get married. V'hilchasa, meis mutter, gemalto asar. And then the Gemara finally concludes on this matter. God forbid the baby dies, so she can get married and she doesn't have to wait 24 months. But if the baby weans, so then she has to wait 24 months for her to get married. And then the Gemara says that, according to the name of Rav Ashi, that even if the baby dies, so she has to wait 24 months, because if otherwise, you're incentivizing the woman to basically cut off the life of her baby so she can get married. So, the Gemara points out this actually was an incident. The Gemara says, okay, that was an incident, that was an episode, but that's not going to dictate the halacha. The Gemara points out that obviously that was a deranged, insane woman. The Gemara says, in general, this is not a concern of ours, meaning there may be anecdotal episodes of insane women, but that doesn't affect the halacha. The halacha will follow normative people and normative practice, and normal people do not choke the children. And so the Gemara says there is no gzera, and so therefore, God forbid, the child dies, so then she's allowed to get married within the 24-month period. But the halacha is weaning. She can't get married within the within 24 months after having had a baby. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the two dots.